Hello there, you're welcome to another interesting edition of Sports Africana, your number one African podcast show, where we talk about everything that is African related, sports achievement, problems, issues, and we like to celebrate our successes as well too. My name is Oba Adeola Amokumo, and today promises to be exciting, educating, and of course, at the end of the day, we'll be able to leave with something. Remember, you can always listen to our podcast on all the various podcast directories, Spotify, Apple, Stitches. And for our Apple listeners, please remember to click on the purple button and leave a comment. We really appreciate the feedback. We just want to know how we are doing and what we can do better. And of course, you can tell us the sort of personalities you want us to bring on the show. Again, today promises to be exciting. And we're going to be taking a dive into the world of basketball. Yes, basketball. Something amazing happened over the course of the weekend. An heroic feat occurred. And well, for our non-basketball listeners, over the course of the weekend, there was the Afro Basketball Qualifiers. So basically, the teams that qualify from the qualifier series goes on to play at the African Basketball Championship, which is to be held in Rwanda later this year. The defending champion is Tunisia. They defeated Nigeria at the finals. And so we're looking forward to the Afro held every 2 years, but the format was changed to be played every 4 years now. So this year's Afro Basketball Championship promises to be exciting. But without talking much about the competition itself, I would like to introduce someone who became an heroine of some sort and achieved something land performance in the history of basketball. And it's a female basketball coach who led a male team, yes, you heard me, a male team to the FIBA African Basketball Championship, the first time in 28 years. And that is, I'm talking about Kenya. Now, Kenya have not been part of that competition for 28 years. And this year, I monitored her in an interview by a fellow colleague. And one of the things she said, I'm sure she must have seen into the future, was that she wants to lead an African team to the Afro Basketball. And guess what? Dreams do come true. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce to Sport Africana Coach Liz Mills. She's Australian descent, but she has so much passion for basketball in Africa. Coach Liz, it's such a wonderful privilege to have you on Sport Africana.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on Sports Africana and very much looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, Coach Liz, first and foremost, congratulations on getting the Kenyan national team. You don't know how pulsating that game was. I mean, I'm not Kenyan, but I was monitoring the game, and I'm thinking, oh my God, Kenya playing against Angola. At some point in time, Kenya was leading by 4 or 5 points, and I'm thinking, yes, they're almost dead. Then all of a sudden, I saw Angola leading just by 1 point, and the buzz beater, which happened in such an heroic manner. And of course, Kenya was able to defeat mighty Angola, who are powerhouse in African basketball, if we go back to history. So congratulations on your wonderful achievement. And I think for me, I'm much more passionate about the fact that you're a female basketball coach in a supposedly man's world. So it's something that I think is worth emulating. So congratulations, Coach Mills, for that feat. And I'm sure other female basketball coaches, not just in basketball, but in other sports, will be able to emulate your achievement.
Thank you. Yes, it was definitely an historic day on many levels. First and foremost, it's great that Kenya is now back in AfroBasket after 28 years in the wilderness. A whole generation of basketball players in Kenya never had the opportunity to represent their country at the highest level at AfroBasket. So we're happy to be back there and inspiring the next generation of basketball players. And obviously being the first female to lead a men's team to a major FIBA continental tournament is historic as well. And hopefully I'm the first of many, many women who will come after me. And hopefully we won't have to be celebrating these kind of things. It will just become normal. And gender won't play a role in who, a coach, in who's coaching what team.
Thank you very much, Coach Lee, for that. But before we go into what happened last weekend, first, can you tell us your background as a basketball coach, how you started?
So my identical twin sister and I started playing basketball at 15. We came to the sport a bit late, but we had been watching it since we were about 8 or 9, the Women's National Basketball League in Australia. We started coaching together and until we were about 22 when I decided to take it a little bit more seriously. So whilst in Australia, we coached junior teams and senior women's teams. And then in 2011, I was given the opportunity to head coach Zambian club team Heroes Play United. And we won the championship, which meant that we got to represent Zambia at the Zone 6 Club Championships in 2012. And that was my first interaction with powerhouse club teams from Angola in Augusto Petro Interclub, as well as Mozambique, South Africa and Botswana. And so that kind of inspired me to continue coaching in Africa because I wanted to be part of the growth of the game here. And since then, I have coached in Rwanda, Cameroon, and obviously now Kenya, as well as guest coached in Namibia, South Africa, and previously in Kenya as well. So as you can see, I've been a head coach and an assistant coach, and I'm happy to be back in a head coaching role with Kenya.
So first of all, what is your fascination with African basketball? What gets you so interested in African basketball? I mean, what are the things that you, well, the ordinary person may not see that you see about African basketball that gets you so interested in the game itself?
Well, Africa's got a wealth of talent. I think that's, people can't dispute that fact. It's the fastest probably growing basketball continent across the world. A lot of talent, a lot of potential. It's an exciting time to be part of that rise. There's so many areas that can be developed. So as a coach, you want to be part of that history in terms of helping countries or the whole continent as a whole become better. In a couple of years' time, we're going to see Africa as one of African teams as some of the best teams in the world for basketball.
Great. Right. Going back to your current role, like I said, I monitored an interview where you spoke to one of my colleagues, and you mentioned that you like to take an African basketball team to Afro basketball. Now, when you said that, were you thinking of the forthcoming Afro basketball championship or subsequent editions?
No, I've had that dream since I first went to club championships in 2012. So I first had a major shot at it in 2017 with the Zambian men's national team, and unfortunately we failed to qualify. So it's always been a goal that I don't want to put off, and I'm glad that I've been able to achieve that a decade into coaching in Africa.
Right. So when you took over Kenya, obviously there was a Afro basketball version, which was organized for the locally based African players, which I think Kenya was second runner up, I think a year or two ago. And obviously you can see that they've been building. When you took over the Kenyan team sometime about 2 months ago, if I'm right, less than 2 months, basically. Yeah. What objectives was it to just participate, or did you really believe that you could get Kenya to Afro basketball?
So I've been watching these guys since AfroCan. So that's the domestic-based national team tournament where they came second. And I could see that they had a lot of talent and potential. I think they were just missing the ability to play at a more international level. And so I joined the team 2 weeks prior to coming Cameroon. So I didn't have a lot of preparation time, but I made sure before arrival that I had all the information I needed so that when I came to Nairobi, I hit the ground running. I can see I'm the type of person, and I know that the guys I work with are also the type of people who don't go to participate. That's why you saw us. We really tried to get that win over Senegal, and we also tried to get that win, obviously over Angola. Whereas on the flip side, Mozambique came to just participate against Senegal and Angola and just came to try and beat us. I think it's always wise that you don't want to go to a competition unless you're going to win. These players are highly competitive, and it's all about causing those upsets. And if you don't believe that you can win, you shouldn't be stepping on the court.
Great. Immediately after the victory, now this is where I fought FIBA competitions a lot, because I feel the game is quite intense, and the time schedule of the next game to the other is usually too close. I usually prefer that at least maybe like about 2-3 days in between before you play the FIBA competitions. After the next game, you find yourself playing your second game almost immediately next day or something thereabouts. And when you consider the context of the victory Kenya had over Angola, it was such an emotionally driven game for you to now play the next game. Obviously, at that point in time, the players might not be in the right emotional frame to put in their best. What do you think?
I agree. Generally, and this is a complaint by a lot of basketball players here in Africa, especially the pro players, you can't be playing these games back to back. If anything, the FIBA window starts on the Monday. So why are we playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Why wouldn't we play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Friday, Sunday? This need to jam pack things is very detrimental, and it impacts the standard of the game. We played at 8 p.m. against Angola, and then we had to turn around and play Mozambique at 2 p.m., which isn't even 24 hours of rest. And so regardless of that, I'm still proud of our performance. And even though we didn't get a win against Mozambique, it's not a game that we're particularly worried about, because we're not going to see teams like that participate in AfroBasket.
Great. So now that you've qualified Kenya for the competition proper, what are the preparations that you want to put in place to ensure that Kenya have a successful outing when the competition starts in Rwanda? And are you going to be in Kenya all throughout the period, or you'll go to Australia, you come back before the competition?
I leave for Australia next week, so I'll head home for a couple of weeks. The plan is to come back in May and for a training camp to start in June. Have about 6 to 8 weeks preparation, and so that we can't say that we didn't prepare properly. We don't want to have any excuses, and our aim at AfroBasket is not to go just to compete. We want to participate. We want to go to compete, and we're hoping, obviously we don't know who's in our group at this stage, but our aim is to get past the first round, and then we'll set a new goal once that happens.
And so, again, are you inviting, or do you intend inviting players from outside of Kenya, from abroad, to
compete? Oh, definitely.
The on-base players.
Yeah, definitely. Those international players, Kenya's playing abroad. It's important to have them in the team. They bring a different style and sense of play to the team. And obviously, they're very valuable with the experience they have overseas. And it would be remiss of us not to include them heading into AfroBasket.
Right. Thank you very much, Coach Mills. Once again, congratulations on this feat. It's something we all celebrate. And like you rightly said at the beginning, we want to see this as the normal rather than just an occasional heroic feat. And we wish yourself and Kenya basketball team, probably known as the Team Morans, all the best at the Afro basketball in Rwanda.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Have a nice day.